In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast. Christ's parable this morning is often called, the parable of the wicked tenants. And for certain, there's a lot of bad behavior in the vineyard. The laborers, those vine dressers who work the fields, they are jealous and greedy and murderous. They are thieves and men of violence. They abuse the landowner's servants. They assassinate his son for financial gain. But wicked is a strong word. To call someone wicked is to completely erase their human heart. A wicked person is a person beyond hope. A person in whom there is nothing good, nothing worth fighting for, and nothing worth saving. But we should always be very careful, extremely careful, when reading Scripture. It is often too hard, or rather too easy, for us to hear what we want to hear and to miss the Lord's meaning. Wicked is a strong word. But this is not Jesus' word. His audience says that the tenants are wicked, but Jesus does not. Christ asks that question. When the owner of the vineyard returns, what will he do to those tenants? And in the King James Version, it is the people who say, he will destroy those wicked men miserably, and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. And not only does Jesus not call them wicked, Jesus doesn't even directly answer his own question. He certainly doesn't agree with his audience. He doesn't say, those wicked men, those wretches will indeed be put to a miserable death. He doesn't say this. He doesn't stir up the mob. Instead, Jesus opens up another possibility. Jesus quotes a verse from the Psalms. And he says, have you never read in the Scriptures? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Please note this. Jesus' parable does not end with destruction. No one is condemned as wicked, no one is destroyed, and no one is put to death. Instead, Jesus brings the conversation around to good news. Christ knows himself that his ministry and his preaching, they are not accepted. Not accepted by the political and the religious elite. Jesus knows that he will be rejected by them. And Jesus himself is that stone of which he speaks. He is the stone rejected by the builders. But from this rejected stone, says Christ, a new building will arise. Jesus is preaching the gospel. Though rejected, this gospel will become the cornerstone of a new tower. A new palace, a new city. Jesus does not come to destroy. Jesus comes to create. And this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes, as the psalmist says. The parable begins with the tenants and their bad behavior, but the parable ends by alerting us to a new possibility, to the possibility of new life through the Lord's doing. Possibility that it is so easy to miss. For certain, the vine dressers have missed this new opportunity. I actually feel oftentimes a little bit bad about the vine dressers for them. They have a bad reputation in Scripture. But remember, it is not Jesus who calls them wicked. The people do. But Jesus does not erase their human hearts. Jesus does not throw them away as beyond hope and help. No human being is beyond hope and help. No matter what has happened, what choices you have made, what hurt you may have caused, or what hurt you may have suffered, God's hands formed you. God's heart imagined you. God's eternal plan includes you as a desired partner. God will never give up on his children. Never. Human beings are not depraved. Human beings are not beyond help. Human beings are just bad judges of what love looks like. This is our problem. We just don't understand what it means to be loved. We think we do. We think we know what love looks like. Those vine dressers, they think love looks like wealth and power. It feels good. I like the way I feel when others do what I say. I like the way I feel when I'm in control and have all the money. This must be what it feels like to be loved. We are like those vine dressers. We are not wicked. We just don't know what love looks like. We think we do, but we keep missing the mark. We seek love in places and things and sometimes people where love cannot be found. The extra piece of cake makes me feel better. Maybe this is what it feels like to be loved. The extra wine with dinner or the promotion that I have worked for so hard. Maybe this is what it feels like to be loved. I'm always trying to please people, and they seem happy with me, I think. Maybe this is what it feels like to be loved. My boyfriend screams at me and hurts me, but he says that he will pay my rent and take care of me. Maybe this is what it feels like to be loved. Over and over again, like those vine dressers, we choose poorly. We want to be loved. We do, but we settle for behavior that makes us maybe feel a little bit better, at least for a little while. So what does love look like? Real love. Not fake love that evaporates and leaves us feeling worse than before. Love has many parts. Love is a mystery that is hard to understand. But this much is true. If someone loves you, that someone listens to you. It's not complicated, but we mess this up all the time. How can you tell when someone loves you? They listen to you. They take time to hear your voice, your story, your hopes and your fears, your joys, your disappointments. And they do this not to argue back or to win the game. They listen because they desire to share life with you. To listen is to love. If someone does not listen to you, that someone does not love you. And guess what? Money doesn't listen. The internet doesn't listen. Social media doesn't listen. Food and drink and fame and power, they don't listen either. The bad boyfriend doesn't listen. The politician who only cares about re-election doesn't listen, and so you will not find love there. Love begins with listening. But listening, true listening, the listening that leads to love. Listening begins with silence. The one who listens in silence, that is the one who listens in love. The one who waits to hear a word from you, that is the one that loves you. And there is no more perfect silence than the silence of the dead Christ who hangs on the cross. During this feast of the cross, we are reminded over and over again what love looks like. God gives up everything to hear us, to listen to us. There is nothing Christ holds back that might prevent our voices from reaching his ears. Throughout Scripture, Christ again and again moves in the direction of those he loves. He becomes human so that he might listen to us. He seeks out the stranger and the rejected so that he might listen to us. Christ associates with tax collectors and widows and the sick and the lame and the demon-possessed and the children so that he might listen to us. And when we offer Christ a cross in return, when we offer him death, he doesn't reject this. He doesn't reject us. But he accepts this in love as the price for his desire to listen to us, to wait for a word from us, to share life with us. And not even death can close God's ears to us. And in the perfect silence of his death, Christ offers perfect love. Christ's death, we know, it destroys death. And so Christ's death, his perfect silence on the cross, also destroys all noise. His silence destroys all distraction, all distance, all disappointment, all screed. And the cross is the great symbol of love because the cross is the place where Christ waits in perfect silence to listen to you. Those vine dressers never understood the experience of being loved. They wanted to be loved. We all do. But they settled for some of the noise of this world. They settled for the noise of accumulation and self-promotion, the noise of creature comforts and material security, the noise of power and tribalism, the noise of hopelessness, and very much the noise of cynicism. But Christ offers a new creation to us this morning. Christ is the rejected stone on which the Father is pleased to build a new and a marvelous mansion. And where Christ is, there you will find the kingdom. And through his church, Christ offers this kingdom to us. Christ waits here in this place to hear your voice. And he waits in silence, offering eternal life that death cannot defeat. Brothers and sisters, our Lord is a Lord who listens. And we are sent by Christ into the world to do the same work. Listen to others, even as Christ now listens to you. Embrace the silence of the cross. And learn to love others by listening to them. Joyous feast.